Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of the Super Scaling Show, where we interview entrepreneurs and learn a secret on how they scaled up their businesses. Today we have a special guest, Dennis Kelly, the CEO and co-founder of Postalytics. Dennis, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit more about Postalytics.
This episode was brought to you by Super Scaling. Join our free Launchpad community today, where we've created a valuable space that has free content on how to scale your business and where we bring together entrepreneurs just like yourself. You'll learn how to systemize and super scale your business so that your revenues can grow to at least $100,000 a month with a productive team from all over the world, raving fans as clients and happy founders who have true freedom. Visit superscaling.com/launchpad today. And now back to the episode.
Thank you, Alvin. I'm very happy to be here today. Postalytics is a direct mail automation software platform. And so what we do is we actually automate the process of sending marketing materials out through the printed postal mail. Which most people think is a little bit crazy. You know, the whole world has gone digital. But what we've learned is that that the data shows that actually now receiving things in the mail has a huge impact on your audience. And so we make that process fast, integrated with your digital campaigns, and we provide data and analytics around the performance of your postal campaigns.
Wow. I guess that explains the name, right? That's the analytics part and it's all about the post. So it's Postalytics. I like the
Postalytics,
name.
Postalytics. You got it.
Awesome. I know there's a backstory behind this. Previously, you were actually, the business was actually BoeingNet.
That's correct.
What happened and why the pivot?
That's correct. So, you know, I've been involved in starting technology companies here in the Boston area for the last 30 years. So along the way, you meet a lot of great people. And several years ago, somebody who I'd worked with in the past, who's a brilliant software architect, came to me and said, "Hey, Dennis, you know, we're living right near each other." And we said, "Oh, well, let's get together." So we got together and then he started talking about a side gig that he was working on with some software that was designed to help him with a direct mail marketing campaign. And so he was describing it, he was having some success, and some people started to buy it from him from word of mouth and other things. And I had sold a business and I was looking for something to do. And I said, well, you know, let's take a look at this further. And we dug in and found out that, you know, there's been a ton of investment into marketing technology, but very little investment into the direct mail marketing world. And part of the reason why is because everybody's doing email and everybody's doing social and digital ads, right?
Yeah.
But you dig a little further and we found out that the direct mail marketing world is still a huge marketing channel, but it's been largely ignored by the technology vendors.
Yeah.
And so here's an opportunity. So we took that initial product that he had built that allowed a marketer to measure the response to direct mail. So when somebody goes online to respond to your postcard or your letter, this was a tool that allowed a marketer to understand who went online and how many of his audience went online and provide some metrics. And we thought, oh, well, this would be a great software tool to sell to the people that are doing a lot of direct mail already. And so we built this product called BoeingNet, and we built out some email marketing tools to go with it, some text messaging tools to go with it. And we sold it as a package to the agencies, marketing agencies and big brands and the printers that do a lot of direct mail, so that while they're doing direct mail, they could have landing pages and email and text messaging to go along with their direct mail. And so we did that for a few years, but sales were just not ramping fast enough. And so then, you know, we tried different things. We tried different people. We tried different approaches to the market. But things were not happening fast enough. And so, you know, because we've been doing this for a while, we thought, you know, there's something fundamentally wrong. And then what we landed on is that we were trying to sell the software to the wrong market.
Huh, that's interesting.
The people who we were trying to sell to were just people that did not want to embrace technology. They wanted to keep doing things the way they always had been doing them.
Right.
And so that's why our sales cycles were too long. That's why it took too much professional services to actually implement this. And so what we ended up making a decision to do is stop doing what we were doing. We had to lay some people off. It was terrible. And then, but we took some of that underlying technology and we went in a different direction with it. We said, well, if these people don't want to embrace technology, let's sell to their customers, the end users who are actually doing the direct mail or want to do direct mail if it was easy.
Right.
So we took a lot of that underlying software, built a whole new system, and came out with Postalytics to sell to directly to marketers rather than through these other people. And so now what Postalytics does, it actually allows a marketer to sit in a Starbucks, for example, on their laptop and point and click and build a direct mail campaign in minutes without having to talk to vendors, without having to coordinate with a lot of people. And then the direct mail is integrated with their CRM and marketing automation tools. It's providing those analytics we talked about with
right.
that we built originally. And it's an end-to-end system to make direct mail fast, integrated, and measured. And so since we made that pivot and came out with Postalytics, we've been growing on average 60% on a year-over-year basis for the last 5 years.
Wow. And to just give people some form of measure and comparison, what was growth like in BoingNet like in the past?
BoingNet was growing 25 to 30% and was requiring far too much investment to get that 25 to 30%.
Got it.
So it was just something that, you know, after you've built a great product, you know it works and it delivers results. If the market isn't, you know, seeing that clearly, there's something wrong.
Yes.
There's something wrong with your marketing or there's something wrong with the market itself.
Yeah.
And that's really where we ended up.
Oh, I love that. I mean, that's such a great example and story of a product market fit. Most of the time, it's one or more of these variables that we need to test and ensure that there's like this match that's going on. And if we are not on top of things, we're just going to continue and, you know, things are going to be tough. It feels like we're banging our heads against the wall. And it's like, you know, trying to swim in quicksand. So it's tough. But once you find product market fit, suddenly everything falls into place and it becomes a lot easier. So I love that pivot that you made, especially love the fact that you're focusing on a real area of need. Like you mentioned, the digital side of things is literally a red ocean. Everybody is in Facebook ads. Everybody is in email marketing. I mean, I can name a few of the top guys in email marketing just off the top of my head already. MailChimp, AWeber, Constant Contact, and all that, right? But you guys are in a space where, you know, that's less competition and it's a real problem that people are facing. I personally went through a few digital direct mail campaigns myself. And the biggest problem is it working? What is happening? Are people actually responding? Is it a problem of the mail itself or is it the call to action or what is going on? And it's so hard to to track. So completely resonate with what you're saying. I love the fact that you pivoted and found success with Postalytics.
Yes, we found a great product market fit. And now, you know, we're growing the business very rapidly. and continuing to build out the vision, right? So we think there's a lot more technology that we can build and will help us grow our footprint. We're beginning to take a more vertical approach to our marketing and sales. And that's really unlocking another level of growth as well.
Cool. Where do you see this going? I mean, it seems like you've already like nailed down everything from like the direct mailing part of things to providing the analytics and even the customization and the integrations that are involved. What else do you see, or where else do you see Postalytics headed to?
So I think we still have a lot of room to grow in a few vectors. Number one, we want to make Postalytics easily integrated with virtually everybody's software out there.
Right.
Right. So we've built integrations to Salesforce. We've built integrations to HubSpot, Zoho, ActiveCampaign. But there's a lot more, many, many more marketing systems that we can build integrations to. And then number two, we believe that we have an opportunity to grow internationally. So the majority of our business is in the United States today. We've just started operating in Canada as our first step outside of our borders. And so as we get an understanding of how to begin to expand internationally, then we can start looking at expanding our footprint to Europe and to Asia and South America and continue to grow very rapidly that way.
Very cool. I mean, it'd be useful to have Postalytics in Singapore. Hey, do you guys handle the actual like sending and printing and sending of the mail as well? Is that what you do in the US?
Yeah, so we partner with printers that are spread out around the nation. And so we route mail to them. They do the actual printing and they hand off to the Postal Service. But our software is actually monitoring the entire process.
Right.
So you as a marketer, you know where your mail is and when it will be reaching the home and so that you can coordinate and time other channels.
Yeah.
So you can send out emails in digital that will be coordinating with the delivery of the mail.
Oh man, solving that is already a big, big solution in itself. Sometimes you don't even know whether the recipient is getting your mail in time for Christmas, in time for a special promo that you're running. And you know, it's like there's so many questions that are involved. It's no wonder that people love the digital services so much. But again, it's like the lowest hanging fruit, right? And everybody's flocking to that. Doesn't mean that it's the best method to reach out to consumers. And a lot of businesses.
That's right. That's right. The if you follow the exact same playbook as everybody else,
yeah,
you're going to look and act and feel like everybody else.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what's very interesting is that 2/3 of the people who sign up for Postalytics tell us that they are currently not doing direct mail. And so they are using Postalytics to try to grow, to add the channel to what they're already doing.
Right. And I'm sure a lot of businesses, especially the brick and mortar ones, benefit a lot from direct mail. Not to say that the online businesses don't. In fact, I think everybody should explore all marketing channels in order to see what generates the most ROAS or the return on ad spend for them. And it doesn't mean that everybody should just flock to Facebook because, logically speaking, it cannot be that Facebook is the best. It's the easiest. It's really simple to just go online and create a Facebook account and then start advertising. But it doesn't mean that it's the best for people's businesses. So that's why I tell my clients here at Super Scaling as well, it's really understanding your business and figuring out where your market is and the best way to reach out to them. And honestly, if the person that gets mail, direct mail, postal mail in their mailboxes sees your flyer or sees your advertisement, especially if it's a brick and mortar business that they need, you know, whether it's a professional service, it could be a educational service or whatever it is, I think it's a much better way of reaching out to them. That's actually largely unexplored.
We're seeing a ton of traction in as you mentioned, local services. You know, anything to do with the home, obviously. but also e-commerce.
Right.
And if you think about the number of people that are not opening their emails for e-commerce. So what marketers are doing is they're measuring the open rates. And if people are not opening their emails, then all of a sudden they'll use their marketing automation to start triggering a direct mail piece to go and try to reactivate with a great offer and then drive them back online. And so you don't have to send mail to everybody, but send mail to the people that are not responding to other channels.
Love it. That's awesome. And that's so useful because my mailbox, my email mailbox, is filled with emails. I don't have time to look at all of them. And yeah, if I get like a nice offer in a mail or something different in a mail, I guess that's a great way to reactivate my interest in the business.
And you know, the advent, the acceptance, the wide acceptance of QR codes has made that transition for somebody getting, you know, a powerful image of a product with a discount and a QR code they can just hit with their phone quickly and buy it.
Yeah.
You know, that has changed the ability for marketers to use a printed piece to bridge somebody from offline to online.
Wow, I love that. You know, the QR code has to be a pretty recent technological, not invention, but an embracing of it. Like it has been invented like, you know, ages ago, but COVID has made it such a widely accepted, you know, form of interaction that you know, you see it everywhere now. You know, it's on menus, it's on like signboards, and direct mail as well. So
it's made a massive difference. And so the number of campaigns using QR codes for us has grown 70% since the beginning of COVID.
COVID, the great technological enabler. Well, tell me a little bit more about the businesses that you serve. I'm particularly interested in the e-commerce businesses. How has that been for e-commerce clients that, you know, Postalytics serves? Because when I'm thinking about e-commerce businesses, I'm thinking about businesses that are online, the customers are online, and they do everything online. How has Postalytics helped in that funnel? And how has your e-commerce clients used Postalytics? You mentioned one use case, which is the reactivation of clients, but are there other like more innovative use cases that you've seen so far?
Yeah, so another very, very common use case for direct mail with e-commerce is the abandoned shopping cart. And so you browse, you find a product you like, you go to the shopping cart, and you stop.
Yeah.
And so immediately there are emails being sent to you, right? But what if you don't open those emails?
Right. Yep.
Within 24 hours, you can have a postcard printed to reach out in another channel. So within a few days, you can be receiving an offer through the physical channel because you didn't respond immediately to those offers to reactivate your shopping cart. So that is very, very common for e-commerce.
Wow. Do your end users face the problem of you know, too much junk mail? And how do you overcome that issue?
We really haven't run into that because so much mail has stopped being sent for other reasons. So nobody's getting their bills through the mail anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing personal correspondence through the mail. And so the overall amount of mail you receive has dropped by 40% since 2008.
Wow.
But now the automated marketing mail that we're building is starting to come back, but yeah, it's still a fraction of the number of emails or digital ads that you receive on an average day. In the United States, the average consumer gets 120 emails per day.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And through all of the screens, television and phone and computer, you are exposed to approximately 5,000 digital ads per day.
Wow, I didn't know it was that much, but...
And so and the average person gets 8 pieces of mail.
Wow. And are these mail, are they personalized? Like, does it have my name on it? Or is
Absolutely.
It just...
So, like, all of the data, it's 100% dynamic.
Wow.
And so the offer, the image, the text, the call to action can all be personalized based on the data that we're pulling from the CRM or the marketing automation tool. And so just like with an email, because Postalytics is all in the cloud, it's all software.
Yeah.
And the creative is all in HTML, just like an email.
Right.
So that's part of the magic. We take that HTML creative and we turn it into a high resolution PDF for the printers on the back end.
Just one? Like, I can target one person?
One. Yes.
Wow.
One.
That's quite a high level.
100% personalized. Yes.
Whoa. Okay. That's quite cool because with email, it's easy to do, right? You just tweak the names and you're sending it out. But I didn't know it was possible with direct mail. It's usually like a minimum quantity here in Singapore. They charge you like, I think it's like 1,000 pieces or something, and you print out everything's the same. There's no personalization at all. The only thing that changes is the address. Everything else is like, you know, to the resident.
Yeah, no,
or something.
It's all different because what we're doing, we satisfy the minimum volume by bundling campaigns together from all of our customers.
Nice.
So you might send one, but I might have another customer sending 10,000 and somebody else sending 20 and then somebody else sending 300. But when we send them to the printer, they all come together.
Yeah.
And even though they're all different, they're all unique, we're sending them fully built PDFs that are 100% personalized. The printer just pushes a button and they go.
Yeah. Cool. How long did you take to build up a network like that? You must have like printers all around the country.
We do, yes. And we're continuing to build that out. It's one of our areas that is a constant area of investment for us, is to find, you know, good printers that fit where we want to fill a hole geographically,
right,
and who have the proper infrastructure to handle the types of printed pieces that we are generating.
Cool. And how long did this take for you to set up? Because there are so many moving parts that's involved in a pivot like that, from BoeingNet to Postalytics. There's the software development, because the software stack needs to be developed. There's the business development side of things, because you need to reach out to not just your end users, the customers that you serve, but you also got to build up your suppliers and your partners that you work with. All these things are happening at the same time. How do you manage to pull that off?
Well, it took a year to do that initial pivot, and that, you know, the initial pivot was really to kind of a minimal viable product that we were able to bring to market, and we've been building out for 5 years since then. So it's a continual process for us. We're continuing to build, but it really took 2 or 3 years to do the full pivot. Because there were so many moving parts to this, you know, network that we're putting together, and the software and integrations and everything else.
Right. And if I understand correctly, Postalytics is bootstrapped.
That's correct.
So this whole venture, whatever you just mentioned, was all completely funded from your own pockets, or was it? You know, cash flow positive from like the first month?
Well, there was investment from the founders, but it's been primarily driven by cash flow generated by the business. You know, we've had a little bit of debt financing here and there, but it's primarily a cash flow business.
Love it. I think that's the best form of business. I don't know why there's this big push for getting businesses invested and for fundraising to happen, but I don't think it's necessarily a good thing. It really depends on the business. But for like most businesses, I feel like the emphasis should be on P&L, profit and loss, that the business is able to grow on its own terms before looking at investments, right? The way I usually tell my clients is that funding should be seen as a way of accelerating growth rather than to enable growth. If your business is hinging on the fact that you have to raise funds to grow, I don't think that's a great business at all. But if your business can grow and it takes 10 years to grow a certain amount, but you want to raise funds in order to reduce that 10 years to a year, I think that makes sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we may take funding at some point as we continue along, but so far to date, we've been growing at a rate that we like and have been able to maintain, 100% ownership of all of the stock.
So love it. How many founders are there in Postalytics?
There's myself and our CTO, and then all of the employees are also shareholders.
Oh, very cool. Love it. Is this the only business that you're in? I understand that you're a serial entrepreneur. Is this the only business that you're focusing on?
Yes, yes. I've this is my sixth startup.
Wow.
I've found that I'm much better just going all in on one business and focusing than I am trying to do too many things. So this is my entire focus.
I think that's true for, I think I like to say all people. Like, there's no way that when you have multiple focuses that you can achieve as much as somebody that has a single-minded focus on something. It's just not possible. So
Elon Musk might be the exception to the rule, but who knows?
Yeah. I was thinking about that too, but he did that in a serial manner and then started diversifying. But yeah, let's see what happens to Elon Musk. I know he's in a little bit of a trouble right now. So we'll see.
We'll see.
Anyway, it has come to the end of the episode, and I'd like to thank you for your time, Dennis. If the audience would like to reach out to Postalytics, what is the best way for them to do so?
The best way to reach us is on our website, postalytics.com, PostalyTics, postalytics.com. We're also very active on LinkedIn. And so you can hit us up on LinkedIn. You can hit the company, Postalytics. You can hit me, Dennis Kelly, on LinkedIn. And those are our two primary channels.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time and joining us on another episode of the Super Scaling Show. Hey, everyone, if you like this episode, if you like what Dennis is sharing, please like, comment, subscribe, and share this episode with your friends. I look forward to talking with you guys on the next episode. Take care, everybody.